Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
A break in the weather, a change in the wind, and hopefully the flounder bite will get back on track. Although we have been picking them up here and there, and a lot of people I know have been picking up here and there, but that cold water, whoa! Did that give them a case of the Lacho? But the feedbacks are back on. Hey, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final weekend in June, 29th and 30th. The equinox month over! Yeah, still plenty of great fishing and great summertime weather and all that good stuff coming up. Freshwater fishing has been off the charts. You know, my proclivities, I do that more than the salt, the bass, the pickerel, now the cats are going into their spawning mode. Some of the areas we fish, we do have some channel cat reproduction. You know, the holes inside the bank there are making their bites a little bit off. But other areas, man, there are plenty of fish to go around. We are concentrating on the transition period. A little bit of a week early. Want to give you a heads up, though. Fluke in transition. Summer flounder starting to move out. Still going to be plenty of fish in the back bay. Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing out of Weirton, joins us. Some transition tips, techniques, and tactics, and where to look. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. By the way, it's Armed Forces Day. Armed Forces Day. Think about it. Think about it. Family members that served in World War II, served in Vietnam, in Iraq. Shout out to my cousin Frank, Sergeant Frank. I won't give his last name. He is now in the Special Forces, but he's running around the world somewhere. Frank, we're thinking about you. We miss you, and just keep it going. Yeah, be thankful. They're making the sacrifice. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio coming up. Captain Brett Taylor, Fluke in transition. The move is on.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, good response last week. Thanks, people. Interview with Stanley Gola on this cold water fluking. The transition, though, is underway. Actually, we're going to do this a week later, but scheduling being what it is happening. The movement, bigger fluke, flounder, outside. Still plenty of keepers in the back bays and tidal rivers. Don't get me wrong. That'll be through the summer, picking off a big one here and there. For the most part, the meat of the season is coming up July and August. By September, it's on the wane. You know, you get that first nor'easter, the first week, and it's ka-bing, ba-da-boom, done. Transition period can be some of the best opportunities for doormat area rug fluke, as I call them, that you have for the season, but it can be right place, as if anything else, people, right place, right time, hitting that one niche, hitting that one tide, hitting that one patch of structure, finding the, you know, what they want to eat. Now, I'll tell you, this southeast, southwest, whatever you want to call it, that really dropped the water temperatures. Shout out to Gina Lawrenson. 45 years experience, part owner of the Carolyn Ann 3 out of, it was out of Barnegat Light. It's now the Captain Cal 2 out of Belmar. Shout out to Ronnie up there, Ronnie Kish, with the new boat. However, she said, Tom P, I was speaking with Jeannie the other day. I stopped at a tackle shop and there she was. Tom P, this is what you have to do in the cold water situation. She has beyond mountains. She has Everest of experience with this. Get them something meaty and oily. We like downward where they would fish from. They would go as far north as maybe Seaside and then south by Atlantic City. No, well, maybe not caught far down as Atlantic City, but down that way. Mackerel strips, she said, when the water is really cold, that is probably the most top producing bait that she remembers. But a lot of vagaries evolved. Put in a call to one of the Fluke Sharpies, what do you call the summer flounder experts, if you want to use that term, because he is Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing, based there out of Barnegat. Thing is, this transition period, a little bit early, get ready for it, because it's going to happen. Have great weather this weekend. Water's finally warming up. They are on the move. Hey, some fish are still coming in. I don't doubt that. Some of the bigger fish now starting starting to go. It's nature calls, man, and out they go. Captain Brett Taylor, sorry for being so verbose, but you know how I get psyched out with the flu, because I'm not good at that at all, Taylor. You know that. How you been, man?
I've been great, man. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You're more than welcome. Now, you told me yourself the other day that's been, with this cold water, even in the back bay, it's been kind of a tough go. I mean, you're getting limits for your clients. I mean, your clients are getting limits, I should say. You're putting them on them. But, Brett, would you say the trend, is it happening now or is it about to happen?
It's about to happen. I mean, July is usually, from all my experience, is July is the time. And we're what, a week away? It's the 28th or 27th, whatever date it is today, of June. So we're right about there. Historically, it's, I start doing ocean trips, inlet ocean trips after 4th of July. So that's where we're at,
Brett, this cold water period, I mean, it happens every summer. I remember a couple of years ago, Denise and I, my lovely Dee Marie, saying, man, it was in July. We had better striper fishing in the back bay during July than we had in April and May because the water was that cold. But it's over now. It's going to happen again. But the water is warming. The bites increasing. Brett, this past week or so, kind of a tough go, is it not?
Yeah, this is probably our hardest week in a long, long time. I'll put it in perspective. I did, I do usually double trips. I do double Monday, double Tuesday, off on Wednesdays, and double triples on Thursdays and doubles on Fridays. We had four trips Monday, Tuesday, and we had a lot of, it's been so windy.
Oh, yes.
We had four charters, four-hour charters. We released over 110 fluke and had three keepers. That was it.
Wow. So there are plenty of fish in the back. And Taylor, we're going to get into this in a later segment in the show. Listen, this is a fluke tutorial here. Brett, last year's regs, listen, hang on for the last seven. You'll like this. Last year's regs, how many of those would have gone home and been in a frying pan? Give me a percentage. Approximate.
With
your experience. What do you got?
We are catching easily. We're averaging about 6 to 7, two, as I call to my clients, they're the 2023 keepers. So we're getting at least six to seven per trip. And some of these fish, we had one that was 17 and three quarters. It was heavier than the one that was 18 that was in the box. So yes, it's, we are getting a bunch of those.
And Brett, with this movement now underway, is it varied sizes? Fish goes, you get shorts out on the wrecks all the time out front. You get the 12, 13, 14 inches. Or is it primarily, Brett, the bigger fish, a.k.a. the females, that make the move first?
It's a combination. But some of the bigger fish are out there ahead of time. I've seen it before, even in September. You get some of the smaller ones are on the tail. It's almost like the females go out there, the bigger fish are out there first, and then the males are quickly behind for the spawn. So they'll start spawning September, October, November.
Mm-hmm.
So the males are quickly, following them. But it's usually those bigger fish, and that's where you're fishing, reef sites, individual wrecks, rubble, anything, any structure you can find. If there's not a lot of commercial draggers out there, some of the depth changes. So if you have any of those sand humps that go from, 60 foot to 50 foot or reverse,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes we saw it last year right off Island Beach State Park. There was a good amount of fluke that were on about an 8 foot change in depth. And you had Miss Barnacle Light was drifting it. You had Mary M. You had a bunch of boats that were drifting that area.
Shout out, Captain Lenny and Captain Lou on the Miss Barnacle Light, and Captain Slammy Sam Racino on the Mary M. Ford. Go ahead, Brett. I'm sorry.
No. Hey, they're great. Listen, they have a hell of a lot more experience than me. I have the utmost respect for those guys. They've been doing a lot longer than I have, but, yeah, it's like, those fish will start. Right now, if you look at the reports, the ocean stuff is a little bit slow. But you watch in July, and if someone ever turns the fan off from the south winds we've been having. If the fan shuts off and we get something east-northeast, that's all we need, about two, three days of east-northeast,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see the bite. First of all, you're going to see the temperatures increase, and you're going to see the bite really start to ramp up in the in the ocean. And for guys that are, anywhere, check places, structure that's close to the inlet. You don't have to be in 70 foot. This time of year, 35 foot. If you can find structure in 35 foot, 25 foot, 40-foot, you know, you're going to find fish. And there are going to be some bigger ones. And this year, you know, 18 and over. So you're targeting, you got to target the big ones.
Brett, from the people I spoke with this past week from shout out to Phil Ciarantino. God bless him. I knew when he was a kid up there at the tackle box in Hazlitt. Down to the tackle shop there at the Great Hutch's Marina in Cape May. Pretty much the same thing, 35, 45 feet of water. If you find a structure, there's fluke there. Brett, let me regress a little bit. You mentioned, so you hear it. I just sort of bite my lip. I said, you know, bite my tongue, whatever. Said, yeah, I guess, whatever. Oh, those big females, they're coming in the back to spawn. They spawn in the spring, and then they move out. Now, you just mentioned that they're going out to spawn September, October. Which is it? I'm thinking they're following the food in. Plenty of food back in it. What in your experience, what are you finding?
That's the biggest, I think that's the biggest misconception. So all the tagging studies, all the biologists, the state biologists, you know, they're spawning, they are spawning September, October, November. So they're spawning as they move off, you know, in that continental shelf area.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to spawn in deeper water, you know, the fertilized eggs develop into larvae, and then over winter, those currents will push that larvae back in, and that larvae develops eventually gets in our estuaries and develop those, you know, they start developing as little fluke. But that's the studies. If you look, you know, if you just research some of that, that's when it occurs. And it makes sense because we've caught, males. You can tell they're males because they're just spewing out, all of their stuff in September, October. No, I mean, you don't catch, it's crazy because like last year we caught close to 1,000 keepers and literally we had two males out of 1,000 keeper fish. So those fish that we've had that happen to, they're 15 inches. You know, they're smaller. Males are going to be smaller, but you'll see it. You catch in September, if you accidentally catch one in October, you'll see that they are, first of all, the females are loaded with eggs, and then the males are, they're loaded
sure.
too. They're just, you know, that's when it happens. So it's not, you know, it's not that they don't come in to the bay to spawn. It happens offshore.
Right. Joining us on the line is Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing, based out of Barnegat. Decades of fishing for fluke. His experience is really second to none out there. But Captain Brett, back in the bay situation now, what is, do you think, in your opinion, your experience, is spurring this movement? Just nature making its call. It's time. Their internal clock is saying time to move out. More food out there. Again, this is based on water temperature. What is it that triggers this, Brett? What do you think?
I think it's part of the daylight, too. I think, you know, because, the 21st? Of June, you start now. As I heard on your radio, you're
one day closer to hunting season.
There you go, right? There you go. So it is. So I think that's part of it. You know, they start feeling that it's that the days start getting a little bit shorter, and that's like the biological trigger for them that, okay, you know, we got to start moving. But the interesting thing is, so April, May, June, you know, we'll be using a lot of shrimp. The 4-inch mullets, you know, that's for the gulp. And then once you get July, that's why I tell people in the bay, upsize 5-inch, use those 5-inch grubs. When you're hitting if you're hitting the inlet, start using the larger stuff because now we're starting to see larger bait fish in the bay.
Right.
And by July and August, you're going to see really nice bait. You're going to see finger mullet. You're going to see nice peanut bunker.
Snapper balloons, Brett. Ooh.
Exactly. So that's why. And then if you're targeting the ocean, nothing but 6-inch gulp. You know, it was 6-inch. And trolling, I like the trolling squid, stripping those out. I heard you say with Gina, mackerel I love. Mm. I love using mackerel strips. Bluefish strips are great, too. So if you get a 20-inch bluefish, strip that out, salt it. You know, you can have bluefish strips are great for it.
Sorry, Brett, those 20-inch bluefish go on a grill with some mayo and some Italian breadcrumbs and tomatoes and onions, man.
There you go.
Brett, have to hang in for another couple of seconds. Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing, fluke in transition. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Luke Taylor, please. Coley Orioles, please. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Big Wally's Furniture Store. big, big discounts, selection and more. Save big money when you walk through the door at Big Wally's Furniture Store. Big Wally's Furniture Store. Living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms galore. Carolina furniture direct to your door from Big Wally's Furniture Store.
Stop by Big Wally's today and see why Big Wally is saying we are the other store at the Jersey Shore with beach decor. Check out their new line of beautiful seashore prints, colored furniture, and wicker and rattan.
Big Wally's Furniture Store. Save big money when you walk through the door. Big, big discount, selection, and more at Big Wally's Furniture Store.
Come see Big Wally, 514 New Road, Summers Point.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted display, social media marketing, the latest in SEM and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Townsquare Media's new advertising sales star. We're looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, let's have a conversation about you working for Townsquare Media. The right career choice is all about timing, and right now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing, with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249, or visit careers.com. TownsquareMedia.com. Townsquare Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Today, one in five working age Americans has a mental health condition.
People in all types of jobs and at all levels.
And the key to helping us succeed is a supportive and inclusive workplace.
All of us have a role to play in making that happen.
So what can I do to help?
As a CEO, I can set the tone for supportive culture.
As a manager, I can offer assistance and accommodations.
As a coworker, I can listen and be a source of support to my colleagues.
As someone with a mental health condition, I can ask for what I need to perform my best.
I can offer all employees the supports they need to deliver on the job, for the team,
and for the business.
What can I do?
What can I do?
What can I do?
I can remind others
that we all benefit from workplaces that promote good mental health.
Mental health-friendly workplaces are more important than ever.
And all of us have a role to play in promoting them.
Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Where will you be when disaster strikes? This is County Executive Denny Levinson. Consider becoming a volunteer disaster response crisis counselor to assist individuals and communities in their time of need. Be part of the Emergency Response Network. No clinical background is required. Receive 22 hours of state-certified training to help educate, support, and inform those impacted. Call 609-645-7700, extension 4519, to learn more.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below!
I had to steal that from Ted Nugent, man. One of his concerts. That was great. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 29th and 30th. Sixth turn of the calendar page, baby. Rip it out. It is gone. And the transition, as Captain Brett Taylor says, may be a week away, but be prepared early because when it happens, boom, it happens in a snap. Captain Brett Taylor, back to the bait in the bay right now. I'm seeing a hell of a lot of spearing. What do they call them? Glass shiners down in Ocean City. They used to call them a bay anchovies, whatever. There's a lot of bait in the back as we speak. I saw a guy, we were filleting in the back, some fluke. Brett had a load of little crabs in him.
Yeah, a little calico, yeah. Little baby blue claws. I'm thinking, boy, another wrench. I had to put those in a pot with the gravy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so there's still a kind of a smorgasbord bait situation in the back. Correct, right now?
Yeah, that's you said an interesting point. Yeah, it's they're right now. They're still feeding on, you know, sand shrimp. They're feeding on your the calico crabs, the blue claws. But you will see, you'll start to notice that they'll start having some fish in their bellies.
Mm-hmm. One of them had a, where this thing came from, I'm not, Brent had a baby blowfish.
Baby blowfish.
This there early, this yeah. a little like 3 inches, you couldn't mistake it, a baby blowfish. Where the hell that yeah. come from? Woo! Oh, we know where it came
they're
from.
They're opportunistic, right? So anything they're bigger than, it's fair game. But you'll see, that's what I always pay attention when I'm flying. Every single charter, every time I fillet a fish, I always keep my fish live. So in the live well, you know, I let them, sometimes they spit up, a lot of times they'll spit up the crabs and guess mm-hmm. what we do? That crab goes right on the hook and you end up catching some nice fluke with that. We've had calico crabs that they've spit up, that are an inch and a half and they're almost alive. You put that in the hook and you would be amazed on the size of the fish that you'll get with that. But yeah, it is a transition. You do have now the fish are starting to develop the big spearing. The spearing are developing. In my lagoon already, I'm starting to see peanut bunker that are within cast net range, I would say.
Ooh.
They're getting there.
Oh, you know, peanuts, man.
I think another week or two they'll be ready for that, a little bit small right now. But so you'll see that transition. And all of a sudden now, July, as we progress, July, that you start seeing less crabs in their belly, less shrimp, and now they're on the fish. And now, you know, that's where you start using your bigger profile baits to get the bigger fish. So that's generally in the back. That's where we're at. The shrimp still work right now. The 5-inch mullets are good. The 5-inch jigging grubs are good. You know, that's where you start to transition into that 5-inch area.
Okay, Cam Brett, I know you're a success, your proponent of Gulp, and shout out to Johnny Prock now at the Pure Fishing, the Berkeley Division of Pure Fishing. He's the head of R&D, Power Bait, Gulp. Johnny was the man. Okay, shout out to Dr. Keith Jones as well, but Johnny was a catalyst. But Brett, I know you're a proponent of Gulp. But, you know, one of the Tom P. models since I was a kid, they don't hesitate when you show them one live bait or two when you show them real bait. Snobs, you know what I mean? Does, right. And except for the muss and fuss, although, did you ever spill Gulp? You get that juice on you? Man, that ain't coming out. But does bait have a position in the back right now in this transition period? Like somebody's big spearing, they look like little steelhead. What the hell?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Guys will, you know, some of the shops, my father works at Creekside. Some of the shops will carry, you know, the local spearing and the Canadian, or the Peruvian, I guess the Peruvian smelt too.
Mm-hmm.
I like using spearing, and I like local. I think that, you know, stuff that's taken from our bay, the fish are used to. So I like anything, you know, and there some of these spearing that I'm getting are 5 inches, high spearing. But they're great, you know, and they can either be fished plain or you can fish that on, you know, with a combo on a piece that has gulp on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, I like a trailer, you know, a trailer hook works good. So if I have like gulp on the bottom, I do a long trailer, maybe 2-3 feet with two spearing on it. And that'll just float in as you're jigging. That's in the back. So if they miss your jig,
mm-hmm.
they have that in the back, and 9 times out of 10 they'll hit that that spearing. But another thing is minnows are good too. Now I don't use, you know, I fish a lot of open bay spots, so minnows aren't as common there.
Right, there, that's a ditch fish to me.
Exactly. So you guys, you know, guys will bring them out in the ocean. I guess,
hey Brett,
you know,
have you seen the size of some of these killies and minis and some of these shops? They're like largemouths. Holy shit.
They're big. Yeah. So those fish, so if you do get minnows and you can, you're fortunate enough where you get big ones, that's where you can fish some of those deeper channels with that. Try to get, you know, spot actually works better than that.
I was just going to go to that, man. Yep. Yeah, a live spot
And shout out to Captain Dave Scholl of Seek and Bay Sportsman. He turned me on the spot years ago. Brett, they're devastating. To me, they're even more effective than a finger mullet or a fresh live peanut bunker. They're killer.
Yeah, I'll just say this: if you're going to fish any bay tournaments, you have at least spot. You definitely drift in spot because there's more bay tournaments are won with live spot than anything else. That's where you get to those big fish. You'll go through them. I mean, it's going to hit your, they're $3 a piece. So mm-hmm. It will hit your pocketbook or your wallet. But, you know, they work. They're good. As I was saying, the minnows, anytime, if you're going to fish marshes or deep areas real close to marshes, that's where you want to use your minnows. So anytime you're fishing any sedges or anything, that's more minnow habitat. That's mm-hmm. what I would use. But if you're fishing like me, I work a lot of the cuts and stuff in the open bay, a lot of flats. That's where I'm seeing schools of spearing, so that's what we're using. And then eventually, when I start seeing schools of peanut bunker out there, I cast net in the morning before my trip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we take that and we live line peanut bunker.
Oh, that is – I love that. You know, it sounds terrible, people, but, you know, you're sending – you look at it. And one thing about peanut bunker, like when we do the herring up there at Merrill Creek around Valley, you know, for the trout and the salmon, whatever, and Lake Aeroflex, you look at it, you look at them the wrong way and they die. You know, but yeah. You look at it this point and you say, you know, you're sending it to its impending doom.
Yeah.
And you say, ah, man, I guess it's my age being 138. Not looking bad for 138 people. Wouldn't you agree, Brett? But anyway, saying, oh man, this poor thing. It's going to be a violent demise, but man, is it effective. Okay, Brett, let me ask you this. On this transition movement, water's warming, fish are getting out there on the move. Are there takes very aggressive, a tap to a boom, you know, or is it the same thing with, like Gina said, like Stanley said, the lay down on the bait, the bigger ones especially, or are they aggressive?
So as that water warms up, they will get more aggressive. If we do have a cold spell, I agree 100% with Stan that they'll sit on it more. You got to be a little bit slower in your jigging. You got to be a little bit slower. Let it take in the bait. But as that water warms, and you're, say, if you're jigging, a lot of times, you know, as I jig until you feel like you got weight or you feel like it's stuck, and that's when you set the hook.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know, those bigger fish I've seen, even in back here, we're using, you know, our jig heads and stuff. The bigger fish we get, they've slammed them, especially when we're fishing shallow water. They really slam it. But, as you get that transition where you're fishing the inlet, you start fishing the wrecks outside, you're jigging, they will start really hitting it hard.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if we have a week or two of south wind, then that's going to cool it down. And then you're back to that. You got to keep it slow for them.
Right. Well, fish turn around in your experience. Well, fish turn around, water gets cold, move back inside. I've heard that.
So, I don't know. You know what? I don't know if they might. I don't think there's been any tagging studies with that. You know, it's not to. But I would imagine that if there's fish around the inlet and it gets real cold, then they might get pushed back in. I know that, you know, when we have hard northeast, it'll push striped bass in our way. So I can't imagine that they wouldn't get pushed in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be the entire population's being pushed in. But I think fish that are in transition there may say, wait a second, this water's way too damn cold. Especially if it's a prolonged, you know, if it's a 20, right now we have 20 to 25 degree swing in our water temperature.
Yeah.
So that's where those fluke, it takes a while. So by the time that window, they start biting, and then the cold water that is coming back, so then they start slowing down again. But as you get now we're into July, when we start having stabilization of our temperatures, you'll see that bite be very consistent. You don't have that period where they're shutting down, you know, per se.
Cap, we know how hot the inlets can be. How hot, I mean, is productive in fishing. You know, we do the shark, we do the Manasquan. We're in there, Barnacle Inlet, you got to get out on the Wreck Inlet, Great Egg Harbor Inlet. Forget Corson's Inlet. It's always been a nightmare. All the years at Ocean City, every week it looked different. Then you get down to Great Inlet, Townsend's Inlet. I still haven't figured out Cold Spring, Cape May, and Hereford, that's a whole other animal down here in Peninsula County. But Brett, areas at the top of the inlets are on the movement going out. Anything specific, any specific depths, any specific kind of structures you would seek on the inlet, you know, with your scopes and a whole bit, knowing what the bottom structure is, where the bigger fluke might be?
Yeah, if you're inlets, now, I'm fortunate enough where I fish out of Barnicot Light, right? So Barnicot Inlet. We have a jetty-based inlet that has the rocks. So you want to fish right at where those rocks are going to come down on a little bit of an angle. Right where those rocks meet the sand, that's where your biggest fluke will be. So that's where, you know, and there's, you know, if you have side scan, you can sometimes the rocks have pushed out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So any rock structure is phenomenal for fluke because it's going to hold bait fish and other things. So that's where you'll target. Now, the sand-based inlets where it's, you know, you have the changing set, that's where you're going to fish probably the deeper cuts,
mm-hmm.
And anywhere there's cuts. But I'm used to that jetty base, so you have a lot of real estate there. And it's nice that if you have a north wind, you can fish the north side where you're deflected. You know, you fish inside the inlet, you're deflected. If you have a south wind, you fish the south side of the inlet, and this way you're deflected from the wind because those rocks are higher than your boat. But that's where, you know, that's where you want to work. Any spots there, you got to look at your inlet. Some areas it'll be a deeper, we'll say a deeper channel on one side or the other side of the
inlet.
There
you go, yeah. The Barnicot's a perfect example, yeah.
Try those. And the thing is, I like fishing. If you want to fish for big fish, you got to be around the slack when that current, because that current's going to rip in there.
Whew.
You know, that you got a lot of water exiting Barnicot Bay, right? So that current's going to rip sometime upwards of almost 3 knots. So you want to wait to that, you know, you're around that slack high where it's nice, clean water, it's slow down, and that's when those bigger fish are going to feed.
Brett, on that current, you're talking, I mean, I've seen it really just smoking out there. Getting it, positioning, getting it down, you want to use, and Stanley always maintains, I've seen him out there, guys using 5 and 6, 8 ounce bucks, and he's out there with 1 or 2 ounce, and the guy's amazing.
Yeah.
But getting that, positioning your bucktail or your jig head, whatever, in that, jockeying around a lot, and then listen, this is just reality. This is Jersey, keeping an eye out for other boats. Oh boy!
Yeah, I do. I don't spotlight. You know, I'm a big Minn Kota guy, so I have those on both boats. But I won't say anchor up, you know, or spotlock in the inlet. But I will use the trolling motor to slow down our drift.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Stanley. So my inlet. My inlet arsenal is 1.5 to 2. That's what we use. We don't use anything heavier than that. Anything 3, 4, 5s, that's for the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where when they're in transition, we're working 1.5 ounce bucktails for the most time. If it's a bigger current, a full moon or a new moon, then we're using the 2 ounce ones. But that's where we're, you know, you want to use that light and try to keep it, you know, try to keep that moving slow. Now, if you don't have a trolling motor, you got a power drift. So you either back,
right.
You know, you're backing your engine or you're going forward, depending on which way the current and the wind is. But, you know, the big thing is safety. Just I would say is I leave my, if I'm fishing the inlet, the main engine stays on the entire time. Even if I have the trolling motor in the water, I let the main engine stay because I've seen crazy things there and people... People have no clue when they're driving sometimes. You got to keep that on to avert, you know, just to keep yourself safe. If you have to move real quick, you can, but leave that engine on. And I've seen guys where they have the engine off, and now they're drifting into the rocks, and then they try to start their engine. They're having engine issues. Just leave the engine on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you're fishing that, when you get outside, you can shut the engine off, or you're way inside, shut the engine off. But if you're fishing that transition, that inlet area, definitely keep your main engine on.
Because there's not reckon. I'm sorry. I have fluke on the mind. I also have crabs on the mind. It's just one of those friggin' days. Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing out of Barney. Well, Cap, listen. Next segment, I want to talk about the main idea you have. Listen, it was very intriguing about fluke management, length limit regulations, the whole bit. But Brett, you're getting out front now. Okay. Okay. Before we get to a break, just a quick minute. You're looking at 35, 45, 50, whatever. What kind of structure, and sometimes, Captain Lou on the Ms. Barnacle Light told me a couple times, Tommy P, sometimes we slay them in open bottom, like they're on the sand, as opposed to the muscle beds, the rocks and everything. What are you keying on going towards that structure first?
Yeah, I'm a big structure guy. I mean, I'll do open bottom if I get pulled in, if there's a good bite. But I'm hitting those structures. You know, you get a main wreck and I always look around the wreck. So I have all my stuff from when I'm togging. Anytime I'm fishing outside, if it's tog or fluke, I'm always looking at the bottom. And I'm always marking pieces. You would be amazed. Fluke will be if a main wreck breaks apart a bit. Those smaller debris fields are great for big flatties. That's where we like fishing those. You know how like cod love tanks.
Yeah.
I like the broken up. You know, I don't fish so much the big wrecks, but I'll fish stuff that has broken apart around those bigger wrecks. So if you're when you're out togging, start marking. Anytime you're out there fishing, start marking stuff. We're fortunate. We have got, for us, we have Barnicot Light Reef, Garden State North, Garden State South. Yep. New Jersey has a great reef system that a lot of those fluke, they'll be on that. They'll just be, you're going to lose gear. That's one thing. Definitely bring out extra bucktails. you're going to make Stan a wealthy guy, but it is worth it because some of those fish you pull out of there, 7, 8, 9 pounds. Yep. It's a great, it's nothing better than pulling a 9 pound fish from a wreck.
Well, Captain Brett, Captain Scotty Newhall, Timeout Charters there based at Amsecan. Shout out to Captain Scott. Last I heard, he's running around Pennsylvania catching trout during his little cold spell. He's coming back. Hey, Tom P, remember, a lot of guys, you'll see a lot of boats on a reef, for example. That's right. Atlantic Sea, whatever. Barnicot Light, whatever. That section like Barnicot Light, the tires, whatever. People concentrate in there. He says, if you find a smaller piece off to the side, he says, sometimes some of the best fluke and some of the biggest fluke I ever caught were on these little, like you said, little pieces that are broken off that are away from it while everyone's pounding the hell out of the bigger areas. He says, you'll be surprised what you'll find on the smaller pieces.
He's Scotty, first of all, a great guy, really good friend of mine. Awesome. You're a great captain. Totally right. He's 100% right. And by the way, that goes, and it's not a tog segment, that goes exactly the same for tog. So rather than, if you fish those smaller pieces, you'll be surprised. They could be loaded with big tog. But I like, any of those small pieces for fluke are that's where we usually go. And we have our marks that we go year after year, but that's where you, just jig those areas up. The other thing is you said about drifting. I do a lot of short drifting. So we'll short. And when I say short drifts, we might only drift 25 yards, and we're motoring back up, drifting again, motoring back up. So it is a lot of work, but you're pounding that small area. You don't want to do large drifts because you have pieces where, okay, it's productive, and now you're into the barren area where there's not much. You might get a fluke or two, but then you come into another wreck area, then it's more productive. Mm-hmm. So you want to maximize. You know, for me as a charter captain, I want to maximize my client's time. So that's why we'll short work areas.
Yeah, there we go. We're up against a hard break. We're long in a segment. Captain Brett Taylor, River Action Sport Fishing. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
People all over the Jersey Shore have found the easiest way to stay connected to South Jersey's talk station. It's the WPG Talk Radio app. Read free, unlimited South Jersey news. Listen to your favorite talk shows. Send us breaking news tips and more. The WPG Talk Radio app is powered by Smoker's Haven. You'll find the finest selection of cigars at any of their 5 locations. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. SmokersHavenNJ.com.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. The New York Times editorial board calling on President Biden to drop out of the race for a second term following criticism over his performance during Thursday's presidential debate.
The editorial calls him, quote, the shadow of a great public servant, and that he would engage in a reckless gamble by continuing his candidacy.
Fox's Kevin Cork, President Biden Friday campaigning in Raleigh, North Carolina, refusing to drop out.
In my words of Biden, I would not be running again if I didn't believe with all my heart and soul I can do this job.
President Biden defending his performance, saying it's hard to debate a liar, adding the Times found 26 lies spoken by former President Trump. Campaigning in Virginia Friday, former President Trump criticizing President Biden's performance.
This election is a choice between strength and weakness, competence and incompetence.
America is listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. We have a high rip current risk in effect from 9 a.m. this morning through this evening. For today, humid with times of clouds and sun with a high of 82. For tonight, cloudy, warm, and humid with a couple of heavy thunderstorms, especially late. Watch for flooding, low 76. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, warm, and humid with a couple of showers and a heavy thunderstorm, high 92. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Captain Brett Taylor, Rear Reaction Sport Fishing. Brett, before we get to your ideas on management, which makes so much sense, no wonder, you know, there people are probably saying, well, that makes too much sense, so they'll never go for it. You there, Brett? You there? Can you hear me?
I'm here, buddy.
He's on the water. We know. So, Cap, talking about the bigger bait strip baits, Johnny DeBone of Fisherman Magazine, great fluker. He uses salmon bellies longer than some of the trout we catch. I mean, and then Berkeley had they hit a home run in certain areas with that big 8-inch grub. Remember they introduced a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
If you want, I mean, the elephants eat peanuts too thing, but seriously, Brett, you want doormat, area rug size fluke. Do you go with the monster baits? Like, for example, one guy I know swears by, he says, Tom, I get three or four hits, big deal. I know I got big fish. He has the trailer hook on him. He uses the Indian troll squid that the guys use for the freaking tile fish.
Yeah, you got to, you know, now, like I said, that with the regulations the way they are, you got to fish bigger stuff. You know, you got to, because you're targeting anything 18 inches or bigger, which, ironically.
Okay, hold on. Let's go right here. Let me segue into this. Speaking of 18 inches, Captain Brett, what do we have? We were talking to, I said, this makes too much sense, man. Taylor makes too much sense. So when are you going to show up and yap about this at one of the marine fisheries meeting in between the 3,000 hours a day schedule you have?
It's coming because I'm very, you know, for what I've been dealing with this season with the numbers of fish. I don't understand. I mean, I know it's a lot of number wise and they have to statistically do it. But I think it would make sense. I mean, they come out with all these different regs, right? They come out with 20 different options for you. And then they pick three. Someone said, oh, let's split the state up, you know, north.
You always hear that, Brett, the demarcation being Barnegat Inlet to the COs. It's, again, a logistical nightmare. It seems to be working, though, Brett, with the 17, because they got whacked from Delaware, the Hefsa party boats. In Delaware Bay, 17 inches, the experiment that's still going on Island Beach State Parks, to its 16 inches. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, I mean, the thing is, like, even if you did, okay, well, you know, charter guys are going to have one set and then wreck. Well, that's bad because it splits us all. That puts us at odds with each other, right? So I don't know why, and hopefully they'll listen to this or at least it'll gain some traction. If they did a split season for fluke, because we do have some smaller fluke in the early season. If they did, like, say, the start of the season till, let's just say, July 15th, where you have your, you know, last year's, yeah, you have the two fish, so your two slot, and you have, okay, you can keep one over 18. And then after the sixth, then from July 16th to the end of the season, hey, let's go, okay, you can get three at 18, or hey, because we took some of the biomass out during that first half, okay, it's three at 18 and a quarter over. You know, wherever they have to play with their math numbers, because it's part of it's a number game, which, you know, it's not like they survey every single fish in the ocean. So it's based on their limited data they have. But if you did a split season like that, because most anglers, party boats included, they start catching, the ocean starts getting good by, you know, that second week of July.
Right.
Right. And that's where you have in guys, that, oh, we're, you know, we're throwing 18-inch fish back. It's bull. So it's, you know, it's the split season it would be beneficial, I think, for a lot of anglers. You know, you got guys that are coming down, whether they're PA, Jersey, Delaware, New York, you know, they're coming down in our waters. They want it. You go fluking, you go fluking with your family. You want to bring a fish or two home for dinner. And that, you know, that 18 inch, it's tough. Now in July, it becomes a lot easier. You know, when you're fluking outside, we had a lot of fish last year over 18 and the slot was kind of tough. So no, why don't you, I would think that they could probably tailor it a bit, tailor the regulations to make it, you know, hey, you're going to be able to take something home, but we have to stay within those parameters that we're not overfishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, man, Captain Brett, and to me, all the years here down, all from Cape May again, all the way up to Sandy Hook, the guys I speak with and the gals I speak with, we have some great female flukers out there. The season till September 22nd, 27th, whatever, 25th. If we have to lose a few days there, I don't even think the party boats, there's going to be a little gap in here somewhere, but shaving right. 2 or 3, 4 days off of that, would that really, if you're in the, prior to that, people are going to be happy bringing more fish home.
I think so. And to piggyback on what you just said, hey, we have tropical stuff that comes up in September. Once we have tropical systems that come offshore, even if it's a tropical storm and not a full-blown hurricane, those fish beeline out, and it becomes a barren. It becomes, fluking becomes very tough.
Yeah.
And they just start moving. And I've seen it where, you know, we get one or two tropical systems. I tell my guys, like, hey, listen, man, it's pretty much done. Like, they're gone. Like,
hey, Brett, that's when we catch some keepers off the beach, though.
That's why I know. And trust me, we're drifting live spot in November for bass, and we're getting 5-pound fluke off of Island Beach State Park. So I don't know. It's like, but I just think it's, you know, if there's something that it's good for, it can work for everybody, but also obviously it has to work for the numbers wise,
right.
Not overfishing. That's, you know, that's important. It has to hit those things, but you got to be able to, you know, when you're catching 100 fish and you're only getting a keeper or two, you know, even that you're killing 10%, right?
Right.
So you're killing 10%.
General number, right?
Yeah. So, like, there has to be some wiggle room there. I know we're stuck with it for another 2 years, but another year,
yeah.
I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But at least hopefully that can gain some traction. Hey, Florida has, Florida has split seasons. They can do it. I'm sure Jersey, we can do it also.
That's it. Captain Brett Taylor, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio today, June 29th. Go out there and get some limits there for you, man, will you?
I got 3 trips, Tom. I've been...
Hold on a second. Hold on. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Ooh, that was just a message from the front desk. Owner of Baltimore Orioles wants Taylor's number. Cook. Okay, we'll do. Okay, Brett, you take care. Best of Jen and Luke and, I'll tell you, little Jake, man. He doesn't give the evil eye anymore, but he still gives you that look like, I don't trust you, man.
You know, it's funny. It's Jake. He had, Gina had him. I had him at Creekside the other day, and Gina had him playing with minnows. So, yeah, he's going to be, he'll be a fisherman too.
Yeah, Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing out of Weirdtown. Check out his website, Facebook, whatever. Brett, we'll see you, man. Up against a break. Got to go.
All right.
Take care, brother. Yep. There you got it, man. Fluke and transition. And what? Good idea. What about that idea? Okay, maybe the numbers won't work, but just try it. You got the north, south. You got the 18. Captain Bobby Bogart, I'll never forget. What was it, 4, 5, 6 years ago, they dropped the limit to 17.5 inch. You know that little half inch made? So, Bobby, how's it going up there on the gamble? He's at a point. This is one of my travels all over the state. He's Tommy Pease. I don't know how many people are happy now. They can bring one or two fish home for dinner, sometimes three. What a difference a half inch made. Next year, boom, back up to the 18. I guess we caught too many. Only the numbers know for sure. And is it accurate? Be right back to wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, I'm Cesar Milan.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Hey, that'll do for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Fluke in transition. Have a great weekend. Get out there and enjoy. Next weekend, it's going to be a 3 or 4. I just love it down there, especially now. I'll be running around all over Cape May County next week. At least 3 of the days. tremendous fishing down there. You know, besides the bayfront, the oceanfront, you got those tidal creeks and great freshwater fishing. Pickle Factory Pond, East Creek Lake there in Belle Plaine. I just absolutely love it. Again, Armed Forces Day. Be grateful for the efforts of those in uniform and the dedication and commitment. God bless America, and God bless our troops, and God bless our first responders. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio. Hey there, Dutch, it's Ernie and Charlie. I'll be back coming up. See you soon. Rack and Fin Radio.
Discover the open road with Hitch RV, your family-owned destination for hassle-free RV shopping. We're here to stay and even better than before, promising a no-pressure experience and unbeatable deals. Our dedicated team guides you to the perfect RV, ensuring your adventure starts on the right note. Forget the stress. Join our family and let's make memories together. Hitch RV, where your journey begins without the hassle. Browse our massive selection today at hitchrv.com.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.